You're listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves.
Welcome to Atlanta Baseball Talk, show number 406. Today is Sunday, June 17th, 2018, and my name is Steve. I'm joined by both Hammy and Kurt, and happy Father's Day to all you dads out there, and happy birthday, Hammy.
Thank you.
How are you?
I'm good.
Whoa.
And a happy late birthday to Curtis. Curtis's birthday
and
was this week.
As well as Sean. It is ABT birthday week.
Nice, except for Steve. Except,
yeah.
Steve.
I am awful.
You
monster.
Are. I hope you
all
have
these Geminis.
I know. Yeah. All six of us.
All right, folks, please help out the podcast by subscribing, writing a review, and sharing links on Twitter and Facebook. All right, guys, in tonight's show, we'll discuss the top of the NL East, the Braves' bullpen and starting rotation, as well as some good news about Ronald Acuna. But first, a quick break. All right, so as of Sunday night, the end of the Padres series, the Braves sit 3.5 games in front of the Nationals, 4 in front of the Phillies, atop the National League East. The Braves are 6-4 over their last 10, including 5-1 this week. The Nats are 4-6 over the last 10. The Phillies are 5-5. The Braves' run differential so far, someone's very excited.
I know,
about
seriously.
Run differential.
Yep.
It's 67. The Nats is 46, and the Phillies is 7. Hammy, I am really, really starting to believe. How about you? I mean, like, more so than just my usual ridiculous.
No, I know, I know. And now I feel like you're sort of baiting me into, since I was so negative a couple of weeks ago. I more and more, right? I mean, every week where they continue to do this, obviously, I am a little bit more of a believer. And there is a lot to believe in, right? Our starting pitching is amazing, and we're going to talk about it. But to have Soroka's almost no-hitter, to have Tehran come back and almost have a no-hitter, to have Fulton. Six no hit, right? But, Folty's start, right? Newcomb's start. Even McCarthy giving up two, right? I mean, which for him is essentially
a no
hitter. And on a ball, right? I mean, like, every starting pitcher is amazing. And all the good stuff comes from that. And then you have on the other side, you know, the Braves essentially in every category continue to be in the top 10, and most of them are in the top 5 in terms of hitting in all of the majors, right? You look at runs, hits, singles, doubles. They have, like, they're fifth in the fewest strikeouts, walks. I mean, they are just crushing it and continuing to do it. And they are in the conversation with Houston, Boston, New York, the Cubs. It's just amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and all without Ozzie.
Yep.
And all without Acuna the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, it's incredible.
Yeah, and still needing help at third base, you know, still not having the answer at catcher. Obviously, we'll talk about the bullpen. But, you know, even Freddie cooled off this week. The last 7 games, he slashed .292, .370, .833. Obviously, the .833 was helped by his 4 homers.
Cooled off while in the midst of a 10-game hit streak.
But, you know, to hit under .300 for a 7-game stretch is cool for him.
Right.
You know, and Marquez went nuts, .320, .370, .400. Of course, he did not have any homers because that was my shot in the dark, and he is Nick Markakis. But, I mean, he continues to do it. And even Ozzie, you know, he had the grand slam and another homer in the last 7 games. But he's, you know, his slash line set last 7 games, .231, .259, .538. But that's better, actually, than what it had been, I think, in the weeks leading up to it. So everyone, it's just amazing. The Braves are just peaking right now. And the only thing I can, you know, is just I hope it continues. And the thing, I think what gives me more hope this week, maybe than a couple of weeks ago, is this was not all 7th inning or later, come from behind wins. There weren't a lot of 2-out runs scored here. We just dominated from the start. The offense put us up, and then we just held on. I mean, this is just, it's winning baseball. No way about it.
Yeah, and we talked about a few weeks ago the watching Folty and Newcomb start to come into their own right before our very eyes, like the pitching's really happening. Throw Soroka in there. I mean, that is happening right in front of our very eyes, too, to come off the DL like that and outpitch DeGrom. Yeah, it's just getting – it is really heady times.
Yeah.
Curtis, anything else to add?
Well, yeah, not much. I mean, it's sort of – each day is much must-watch, you know? I mean, you don't really want to miss a game right now because – it's so exciting to watch the Braves, which is, it's been a long time since I felt like every single game I wanted to commit myself to watching the Braves. You know, I mean, we've sat through a lot of bad seasons doing this podcast, and it's so refreshing to finally be able to watch a team that's this exciting. And I mean, to come back, San Diego's got a pretty good pitching staff. You know, I mean, they obviously gave us a lot of trouble out in San Diego. So to come back and sort of dominate them is the way we did over this four game stretch, and to come back home. I mean, the Braves have not been the best home team in baseball. You know, I mean, they've had their struggles at SunTrust Park. So to come back and just sort of dominate this week, and you know, their competition wasn't the best, but they've had a tough schedule so far. Yeah, you got to beat who you play, you know, and this month is not super tough. So just kind of keep pushing forward, keep winning at home, and keep beating teams you should. And you know, will continue to spread yourself out from your competition. So, yeah, it's awesome.
And for all this to happen, to take five of six this week, three of four from the Padres, all while the Nationals were getting swept by the Toronto Blue Jays, and Harper going 1-for-12 during that sweep. I mean, it's just
the sweep. And they're staring down the Yankees too, right? It doesn't get easier for those guys.
They have a weird on Monday. They finish the fifth inning suspended game and then play another game right after that.
Yeah.
It's one day in New York, but really crazy. All right. So guys, on the, you know, not as amazing side, I think we need to talk about the bullpen again. So the disparity between the really good and the bad was particularly on display Friday night when a 3-2 lead against the Padres became a 9-3 loss. And, you know, as I see it, you've got Winkler and Minter. They've got the two lowest FIPs on the team. They are really tier one. You've got Vizcaino who, you know, it's frightening. Vizcaino's been frightening.
He never has a clean
Saturday
outing.
Game,
he never has a clean outing.
Never does. Yeah. The Saturday game against the Padres was insane. The Sunday finale was insane. He keeps getting out of it, but it doesn't seem so sustainable, right? You've got the middle tier of Shane Carl and Sam Freeman, who have been serviceable but not lights out. And then you've got everyone else. You've got Moylan, who's not really been good. Biddle, who's not really been good. Whoever the mop-up guy is, who's not been particularly reliable. Welcome back, Luke Jackson, on Sunday. So, Kurt, big deal or small deal? What you know, do the Braves need to take action here?
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously going to be the Achilles heel of the team. And because you guys talked about how good the starting pitching is, I mean, you think about some of these games and how tight some of these games are that they've been in. And to the bullpen's credit, they held some of these leads. But, you know, that was a lead that they blew the other day. And after that game, when they gave up all those runs against San Diego, up to that point in the month, their ERA was over 6, 22 walks over 41 and two-thirds innings pitched. A lot of that is obviously Luis Gohara, who has now been sent down. But, you know, there's really nobody out there. Seriously, no one. I mean, Winkler's not been great as of late. There's nobody that I have any faith in. I mean, you talked about Vizcaino. The average against his ERA over this past week was 0, but the average against him was 3.13, and his WHIP was 1.5. So
it's all
dicey. So, and there's a couple of options. You know, I mean, there's some guys. There's Evan Phillips, who's down at Gwinnett, who has pitched really well.
Yeah, it seems impossible that he's not here yet. But
yeah, I mean, I don't get it. You know, I don't know. I mean, the McCarthy going to the long relief guy is an option. I mean,
I think it's coming. Yeah.
Whistler, I mean, do they go that route again? Because it seems like Whistler has had several opportunities to do this and just has not taken advantage of it. But yeah, they've really have to address something with the bullpen.
It's going to catch up to him. It's going to bite him.
It's the biggest glaring weakness in a team that is 3.5 up with what, like 9 games to go to the halfway point. I mean, the team, it's the bigger need than third base.
By far.
Yeah.
I mean, the offense can carry Camargo or Flaherty or whomever is at third. And, you know, Flowers
and Camargo Suzuki. Showed some life this week too. A little bit, once in a while.
But that's, I mean, it feels like, so, you know, it feels like we're a year ahead with the starting rotation, which we just talked about, and we're a year ahead with the offense clicking, right? And obviously Acuña coming back will only make that better. I think we're 2 years behind on the pen, right? I mean, Winkler is the only guy who goes up there, and my expectation is that he's going to do well. That you know, we have Vizcaino, it's like, oh God, you watch through your fingers, you know? And Freeman has amazing stuff. He has 3 blown saves over the last 6 weeks. I mean, he's not consistent. Carl had a much better March and April than he has had a May and June. Biddle, all those guys. I mean, you know, Minter maybe a little bit, but you can't count on any of those guys, and it doesn't feel like we're building towards something with this bullpen yet. It doesn't feel like it's necessarily clicked where it's going to be on the same level as what we're starting to see with the offense right before our eyes and what we're starting to see with the starting pitching right before our very eyes. And if we get to the postseason and we have the bullpen that we have now, we will not advance.
But Anthopoulos has to see this.
Yeah, right? Of course.
He gets it.
Yeah.
And you can't do this overnight.
I mean, the past 3 years, the copy was all starting pitching, right? And then these, you know, a couple of these prospects. And the bullpen is just, you don't build a bullpen through your farm. You go out and you get these journeyman guys on 1 or 2 year deals, and we just don't have those guys yet, I think. So,
well,
I don't know,
we got to grab a guy or two at the deadline. I mean, yeah, we just have to.
Brad Hand.
Right. Yeah. Right.
You
exactly.
got to figure he's available. I mean,
and if he's on the team, he can't pitch to Flowers, so that's good. All right, so let's move from the bullpen to the starting rotation. And, Hammy, you mentioned a lot of it, but it's just been an amazing time. Julio returns on Sunday, throws a no-hitter through 6, 1 strikeout shy of his career record with 11. Soroka takes that no-hitter into the 7th against DeGrom. Fulte, amazing, but leaves the game with tricep tightness. He's placed on the DL on Saturday this weekend, but really just to give him an extra day and to make room for Julio. Anibal Sanchez continues to just defy logic and is unhittable. McCarthy, like you said, it was shaky and it was a little grim, but he ended up only giving up 2. But, Ham, the logjam at the starting rotation is real, even with Gohar being sent down to AAA to get stretched out. So McCarthy has to be the odd man out, yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't take Anibal out.
No, it would make no sense, right? The numbers don't bear it out. You know, and just the way we've seen injuries going, wait a week and then we'll have a different problem in front of us. But no, I mean, I think, listen, you know, you mentioned Tehran. He came back. He was throwing 92 miles an hour. His cutter was working. He striking out dudes, like you said. He even had a rough first inning and then struck out 6 in a row right after.
I don't know if you guys were watching the first inning, but the third out was really ball 4 and just changed the entire tenor of the game.
Yeah. Well, you need those calls, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, so Fulte gets healthy, he's better, right? Soroka continues. Newcomb is just lights out insane, our best pitcher. If Tehran is giving us that 2 out of every 3 starts, it doesn't matter who our 5th starter is, right? I mean, it's nice to have Sanchez. I feel like it's such just a luxury to have a 5th starter who's putting up numbers like Sanchez is. But yeah, I mean, if the question is if it's Sanchez or McCarthy, it's obviously Sanchez. But we have, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, none of our guys are contending for the Cy Young, but it is really hard. We may be one of the toughest teams to win a series from wherever you hit us in our rotation. Just because we have those 4 guys and then a 5th guy who can put up solid outings every time. And if we stay healthy, the sky's the limit.
And I think it's not so close that Newcomb's the ace. Fulte may be the ace. Again, a good problem and argument to have. Mm-hmm. But amazing. All right, next up, some headlines, guys, from the week. And we'll start with Ronald Acuña, who over the weekend ran the bases. I don't know if you saw any of the video, but I know Grant McCauley had some stuff on his Twitter feed of him running from home to first and then from first to third. He looked real good. So the Braves are sending him down to the spring training facility to continue working out while they're in Toronto. And then he's going to start some rehab games. So the Stripers are home in Gwinnett all week through the 24th. So I bet we see Acuña back with the Braves late in the Orioles series next weekend, or definitely for the start of the Reds series at home, which is on Monday the 25th. So Ronald Acuna is on his way.
It's very exciting.
It really is. It really is. All right. So speaking of exciting, Ender Inciarte rose from the dead this week, going 6-for-20 with a double, a homer, and a walk. He even had two multi-hit games. And, you know, the offense has been doing what it's been doing, mostly without Ender all year. And I think we say it every week. If he can just come back to, you know, what he typically does, the lineup just gets longer and longer.
Well, we're going to have a lot more 5-1 weeks, right? I mean, his last seven games, you mentioned 292, 320, 458. When he hits that well, we're just tough to beat. We're tough to beat already. And it just, I mean, we're going to have more weeks like this one when Ender hits like that.
Yep.
So do you think they'll go back to that absurd him batting ninth stuff again?
No.
No, never.
I think Snicker was like, he didn't want to do it. He didn't like it. And so, I don't see that happening. Ender's in his groove where he is in the middle of the lineup.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been working.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see when Acuna comes back. I mean, I know we've talked about this multiple shows, what the lineup looks like then. You think it's You think it's Albies, Acuna, Freeman?
I do.
Cakes?
I do for a while anyways, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. All right, guys, let's end with the first round of All-Star game votes that came out for the National League earlier this week. So Freddie leads all the votes. Forget just first base.
Amazing.
He leads all the votes. So great.
So great.
Ozzy leads at second base. Also great. Cakes is number two in the All-Star voting. You know, not like 20 or 30,000 behind Bryce Harper. And then number three, Matt Kemp. Unbelievable. I mean, he's having the season that he deserves it.
He's deserving
it, but
come
crazy.
On. It's just a slap in the face.
You know, so my assumption is we could very possibly see Folty. He's third in the NL in ERA. Newcomb is seventh in the National League in ERA. Winkler could be there, too. My biggest concern is Ozzy, guys. Like, Ozzy's 40,000 votes ahead of Javier Baez with the Cubs. And I think that Ozzy, you know, got all those votes because he was really part of the national conversation for the first 2 months of the season, and rightfully so. Just killing the ball, all the doubles, all the homers. But Ozzy's just disappeared. And I think that Baez will overtake him. What do you guys?
I don't think so. I think it's Ozzy. I think he's the face of the franchise. He's so likable. I don't know if people are actually even – I think people are more aware of just sort of his personality and his youth and his sort of the excitement than they really are following the stats. I think it's a more of a personality thing. I mean, obviously he has to have done some things to make the radar, but I think he holds that lead. He's one of the most exciting young players in the league. I think he holds it.
All right, we'll see. I mean
– but I don't think any of those other guys make it though. I think
I don't know that he makes it if he doesn't win – the vote for second base. I don't know if he gets
right.
Taken
no, that,
as a,
that's what
as
I'm
a
saying.
Sub.
He won't. But yeah. I think he. I bet he wins the vote for second base.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. I'm saying I think Javier Baez is going to end up winning it.
I don't know. There's so many. I was looking because I was wanting Suzuki or Flowers, maybe, or some of the pitchers. I don't know. There's a lot of good. I don't think we're. I don't think Winkler's making it. Maybe Newcomb would be the next one for me again because he's sort of young and exciting, but.
I think one of Folty or Newcomb will make it.
I agree. And I think it's obviously Freeman and Markakis. I think those two guys are locks. I think Markakis, obviously, even if he doesn't get in the top three, if they don't take Markakis to the All-Star game, it's a bigger joke than the All-Star game already is.
Yeah, no, I'm sure that Dave Roberts will make sure that happens. I believe that. But I think that he's – look, I mean, not only did he get all the pub from this first release of the numbers, but then – They had a nationally televised game this week against the Mets. You know, it was the Hank Aaron themed ESPN game.
Yep.
And Markakis, you know, had a very good night, which only helps his sort of national exposure. He's going to the All-Star game.
Solid game on Sunday.
Yes, solid game on Sunday. 3-for-4 in the game winning catch. Not bad.
Great catch.
Not bad.
Great
oh
week. I mean, just crushed it. He just continues.
And like he does every week. It's just been insane. All right, folks. Next up is Shot in the Dark, but first, a quick break. All right, Shot in the Dark, our crazy predictions for the week that just concluded, and we will begin with two listener Shot in the Dark submissions. First up is Jacob Hyatt, who predicted that Albies and Freeman would hit more homers this week than the Braves pitchers would give up. Albies hit one, that was the Grand Slam against the Mets, three for Freddie, and the Braves gave up only two homers in the bullpen in that one Padres loss. So nice job, Jacob, and ABT Koozie is coming your way.
Send us your address.
Yes, yes. Yeah, direct message us on Twitter. All right, so next up is Demetrius Freeman, who predicted that Inciarte would bat 300 get a game-winning hit in both series. So Ender did hit exactly 300 this week. And Ender did put the Braves up 3-2 in Game 1 against the Mets, a lead that they never relinquished. But no such luck for him in the Padres series. Very close, Demetrius.
So close. Seriously. Nice work.
Amazing, yes. Though. Yeah, really nice. All right, let's see how the three of us did. So, Hammy, you... you alluded to this. You had predicted that Markakis would hit two homers and two doubles this week. You got the two doubles, but no home runs for Markakis this week. Curtis, you had Folty going 2-0, giving up four earned or less, and recording 20 strikeouts or more. And you were on your way through five in his first game, where he was shutting out the Mets, had struck out six, but that was it for him for the week with his tricep.
Kurt, from now on, you can only... make Shot in the Dark about other teams' players.
Yeah, I'm just going to make them all about Bryce Harper.
Yes, perfect, forward. Perfect.
As if he needs any help.
Yeah.
And then I had the Braves scoring at least four times as many runs as the Mets over the two-game series and make it five times, with the Braves scoring 10 runs to the Mets two. So I hit this week. And through June, I'm on the board with one. Big zeros for you two.
Big.
So I'm still 0 for the season, by the way.
You're
which
getting
is impressive
no koozies.
In its own way. Kurt.
That is true. It just doesn't pay as well.
All right. So, guys, what do you got this week, Hammy?
Soroka's homecoming, Calgary native pitching in Toronto. I say that he goes seven or more innings, gives up three hits or less, and one run or less.
All right, I like it. Curtis, what do you got?
I should have even a broader connection with Soroka and Calgary, because, of course, that's where the Atlanta Flames fled to so many years ago, breaking my young NHL heart. I did pick the 5-1 week last week, so I will try and give myself any credit I can find. And with that, I will pick the Braves to go 5-0 this week.
Very good. And I'm going to... do something in that same neighborhood. I'm predicting the Braves are going to score 16 or more runs over the five games than their opponents in this week coming up.
16 more than the opponents. Okay, just making sure it's clear.
Right.
Just making sure.
Right. Yeah, yeah. No, we
don't want you to be like, oh, four
week.
Times as many runs. Oh, I guess five times counts. Just want to make sure we know exactly what the rules are here.
Wow, I see. Okay. Boy, there's some long, lingering bitterness with you, Hammy.
No, not bitterness.
I think that was
all.
Like 3 years ago.
Nope.
Yeah, he still carries around something I did to him in seventh grade. So
that's a different story, but yes, but no.
Yes, one we probably can't share on this family podcast. All right,
there's
folks, you get to play too. Each week. So don't forget to get your Shot in the Dark in before first pitch on Tuesday via Twitter. And if we pick yours, we'll discuss it on next week's show, and you could win an ABT koozie if you hit it exactly. All right, guys, let's talk about this week ahead. Five games, two on the road in Toronto, three at home with the Orioles, They're real bad.
The horrible Orioles, I think, is awful. The number you're looking for.
Yeah, I think they're on pace. I think I saw they're on pace to lose 116 games.
Wow.
Yeah. All right. So the pitching matchup, starting with the two-gamer in Toronto, Mike Soroka will face former Brave Jaime Garcia and his
Braves legend.
Yeah. Yep. Finishing up in Toronto, Anibal Sanchez will face Jay Happ and his 348. Happ's been quite good. So back home for those reeling Orioles, and there's no official rotation published on Braves or ESPN, but based on some tweets from Bowman, here's what it looks like. That it should be Sean Newcomb facing Dylan Bundy in Game 1 with the Orioles and his 381 ERA. Next up, Folty, that Saturday game, he should come off the DL and face a player to be named. And then to close up the series, Julio will finish the week against David Hess and his 4-13. So Sunday, Bowman had a tweet that laid out that order for the rotation, and the tweet ended with, and McCarthy will go to the bullpen. So, I haven't heard the team say that officially, but it certainly looks to be lining up that way. All right, so, Kurt, we know you think they're going 5-0.
5-0.
So I had that same thing. I have 5-0. I don't need a shot-in-the-dark koozie to make myself feel good about that. But I think this week, I think, sets up very well for them.
Yeah, and I will go 5-0 as well.
Oh, Kurt, just ruining the value of your shot in the dark.
Yes. I really had no thunder to steal, but stealing my thunder nonetheless.
Exactly. All right, folks, that is the show. Remember, you can find us at Blog Talk Radio, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spreaker. And as always, you can find us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com to access all of our shows and to post in our comments section. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at ATL Baseball Talk and to like us on Facebook. Thanks again for listening, and go Braves!
Thanks for listening to Atlanta Baseball Talk, your weekly podcast for all things Atlanta Braves. To find new shows, to post in our forum, or to send a comment, please visit us at AtlantaBaseballTalk.com.